magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday. I'm looking at the calendar. It's August 21st, 2020. Has it been a blur of a week for you, Jason, like me?
Every week is a blurry week these days.
You know, you were telling me the story of this week getting your four different children to school at different times and half days, and sometimes it's in person and sometimes it's not, and then the whole thing with Samuel, with he was a little too hot one day, too cold the next. That was kind of funny, and it made me think about the time we were donating blood in Israel. And Kathleen Jennings, I guess her iron levels or whatever wasn't high enough when they, you know, pricked her finger and did a little blood test. And so she went into the other room and she's woofing down all these raisins, and she hates raisins, but she did it because she was so passionate about wanting to donate blood, and she was doing everything to get her iron levels up or something. And it was like sort of what you were going through the last few days. It's just kind of funny because, you know, now everyone's taking everyone's temperatures, and there's a little variance, and, you know, the variance could be because the kids were running around in circles, and they're sweaty, and they're hot, and, you know, so, wow.
It's a strange week indeed, I would just say that. You know, the beginnings of school and trying to find, you know, obviously people say, well, I want to get back to normal, but I don't know that that's possible. But I think, you know, people are struggling to try and find what that needs to look like. And in doing that, they're finding out that it doesn't look like normal at all. And in the process of it not looking like normal, you know, it looks more like the Carol Burnett, you know, Friday Night Special than we'd like.
Yeah, it's kind of appropriate. We've been walking through this book of James together the last couple months now, and we're up to verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. And I think, you know, this COVID-19 and circumstances well beyond our control has humbled many of us, and we find ourselves, you know, somewhat out of our comfort zone or leaning much more heavily into the Lord because some are unemployed, some are wondering where their next paycheck's going to come from, or are they going to be secure at work, or health issues, or, you know, these 20,000 university students for the U of I are coming, and the various other campuses in our listening area where people from all over the world are going to be descending into their community, and what is that going to look like, and, you know, just another whole wave of uncertainty, and it's humbling because we really can't predict what's going to happen next.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we did a lot of predicting and projecting and talking yesterday. I was in Springfield all day with WLUJ station manager John Swinford and Joey Kroll, and Phil Shepard was down from the Chicagoland area, and we were talking through and planning up their October Share-a-thon that's going to be happening in Springfield, covering 9 of the WLUJ family of stations and working that all through and what that'll look like. And so it was a great time to meet up with that staff and get Phil down here to get his input and insight on things. He came down for a couple days, and we continue to learn and grow and develop that ministry, all knowing that to God be the glory as we lift up the name of Jesus. So it was a very productive day in Springfield, and back in the saddle today, trying to figure out what's next for this weekend. Oh, yeah, tonight. Tonight, everyone, at the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City, there's a feature. It's a one-day only called Working Man. So even if you're hearing the re-airing of this program on 10 of the frequencies, Mark and Friends is at 7:32 a.m., re-aired at 7:32 p.m. On 9 other frequencies, it's heard at 10 a.m., but at about dusk time, 8:15 or so, we're going to gather as a radio listening family at the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City and watch Working Man. It's a great movie filmed in Illinois, and the proceeds will help St. Jude's. And Mike said, he's the drive-in owner, he said if there's a good turnout, he'll even donate some monies back to the radio ministry. But that's tonight around 8-ish. But if you get there early, people tailgate, they pull out their lawn chairs, they sit in the back of their trucks or put the hatch up in their cargo van, and kids are running around playing ball, and there's a lot of activities. It's a lot of fun, and you sit and talk to your neighbors with social distancing in mind. It's outdoors, but it'll be a fun thing. Holly, Esther, and I will be going, and if you're not doing something tonight, Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City, Illinois, right on Route 47 in Gibson City. And you can find out more at harvestmoondrivein.com, harvestmoondrivein.com. You can pre-purchase your tickets. I think it's $7. They have concession stands and all sorts of fun activities when you get there. And if you haven't been to the drive-in movie for a long time, now would be a great one. I'll bring some Great News Radio yard signs so people will obviously see where we're parked. And we could kind of tailgate and have some fun together. And then you get to watch the movie with your car radio dialed to one of two frequencies there. And so it's kind of a fun gathering. So round up the kids or family members or friends or make it a date night. And let's meet tonight at the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City. All right, so we're in the book of James. We're in chapter 1, verse 9 states, "The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business." Oh, I'm glad I have Pastor Jason Schiffel on the phone with me to help us walk through this. What is James trying to communicate to us, and what does God have each of us needing to glean or to apply or to learn from this inspired passage of Scripture? Any thoughts on this, Pastor Jason?
Yeah, always. So we always talk about how the ground at the foot of the cross is level. You know, there isn't high ground where some people stand higher than other people, where other people stand lower than others. You know, the ground at the cross, the proverbial ground beneath the cross, is level. And that's really what this passage is saying. If you read this and you go, what is James trying to talk about? I mean, he's talking about lowly, the rich, the flowers in the fields passing away. What does this all mean? Think. The ground at the cross is level. See, what James is saying is, he says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, meaning that the lowly brother, in his poverty, as the Lord lifts him up, as the Lord picks him up and lifts him up. You know, I think about the parable that Jesus shared where he said, when you come to a gathering, when you come to a feast, a wedding, sit in the back seat, and the man who's running this gathering will come and get you, and he will bring you to the first seat, the front seat, the choicest seat. What Jesus is saying there is, he's saying the back seat, the seat in the back of the room, is humility. And what will happen is, the man who's running the gathering, which is God, will come and he will gather you and he will bring you to the seat of exaltation, the front seat. So in your humility, you will sit in the back seat. Now, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking more of God. And so in your humility, and in turn thinking more of others, it's the same thing that Jesus said, right? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, with all your might, and love your brother as yourself. Think more about God, and because you think more about God, you're going to be spurred to think more about others. Why? Because God is always thinking about others. And in that others, he's also thinking about you. But God isn't just thinking about you and you alone. He's always thinking about you and then how you can take the blessing of what God has done in your life and share it with others. I think about the rabbinical quote that I love, where the rabbis would say, a blessing that is kept for oneself becomes a curse because a blessing is meant to be shared. It means whatever you're blessed with, however you've been blessed, that blessing, God intends for you to take it and to share it into the nations with your neighbors and your friends, those around you. So let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Why? Because God's the one who exalted him. This is not the lowly brother exalting himself. This is God exalting him, and the lowly brother using it as a witness, as an ambassador for Jesus, saying, look what God just did. He lifted me up. In my poverty, he lifted me up. He exalted me. And it says, but the rich in his humiliation. So what it's saying is, just the same as the lowly brother is lifted up and exalted and glories in God, the rich man, now this is a far more difficult thing to hear, the rich man who tends to be haughty and tends to be prideful needs to give God all the glory in the times when he is humiliated, which means that he's brought low. He's made humble.
Hmm.
Humiliated in this sense does not mean to be made to seem as a joke or to be somehow treated unfairly. This is a humbling that happens. And so as appropriate as it is for the lowly to rejoice when God lifts them up, it's also appropriate, but wait, far more difficult for those in high positions, the rich, to rejoice when they're brought to humility by trials.
Hmm.
And yet, humility is what allows us, what did I say? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking more of God. And when you're thinking more of God, it means you're seeing God more clearly. And so the rich man doesn't necessarily go, man, I'm just so glad that happened.
Yeah.
But the rich man is saying, even though that happened, one of the great blessings in it is I got to see God more clearly. And so I wonder for all of us who are maybe at times, if we're a little prideful or a little haughty or sometimes think a little bit too much of ourselves or sometimes maybe just think everything's going really good for us. You know, in this kind of season of life that we're in right now, maybe one of the great blessings is we've been humbled by God, because all the things around us that we thought we were concrete, that we thought were immovable, are not concrete, and they are movable.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many unknowns right now. But you know what we do know? We do know who God is, because in our humbling, in our humility, we get to see God more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great blessings in this time right now. I don't know about you, Mark, but for me personally, I feel like I see God more clearly now than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about him way more. And that's not to say that before I didn't think about God a lot, but he occupies most all of my thoughts now, because I don't have a lot of answers to anything. And a lot of times I have to say to people, you know, I don't know, we should pray about that.
Yeah.
I don't know, we should really look at what the Bible says. I don't know, we should really ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in this, because I don't have any good answers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know what the next thing is going to bring. And so, you know, just as the lowly brother should be joyful in his exaltation, he seats himself in the back of the room and he is brought to the front of the room. So should the rich man when he is humbled. Why? Because Jesus told the rich young ruler, it's very hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And it's because he stumbles, as Charles Spurgeon would say, over his pride, continually trying to make his way there.
Hmm. You know, I'm thinking, Jason, you've used this term many times, and I love it. You know, whenever we're forced to lean into Jesus, it's a good thing. I mean, you're leaning into the source, you know, the creator, the King of Kings. And oftentimes we have to be humbled to the point where we recognize it's beyond me, I can't do it. And then we turn to God, we lean into Jesus. And really, that's like the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hmm.
And so here's the thing. And this is the beauty of what James does and the Holy Spirit speaking through James. So we got the lowly brother who has been exalted and he's rejoicing in that. And we've got the rich man who has been humbled and he's rejoicing in that. And then James says, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass and the flower falls and its beauty perishes. What James is saying is, listen, the most beautiful and perfect things in the world are still always temporary.
Hmm.
Your riches are temporary. Your poverty is temporary. By the way, you know what the rich man and the lowly man have in common? A lot of people would say not much. He's rich. He's poor. He doesn't have anything. He's got everything. No, they have a lot in common. You know what they have in common? Both of their lives are temporary.
Hmm.
Just like the grass and the flowers. Their lives are temporary also. James will say later in his book, we are but a mist and a vapor. This life is temporary. And so how we use this life and what we do with this life matters. And if all we're doing is utilizing this life to get more of whatever it is this life offers, then I think we're trying to fill the wrong bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we ought to be doing in this life is preparing ourselves for our eternal life and sowing into our eternal bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by keeping our eyes on God and by worshiping him fully and loving others out of that and moving others to come alongside us and to do the same, to help others to see Jesus, help those who are rich see that their humbling is not to try to, in some way, shape, or form, demean them, but instead to actually lift them up so they can see God, because they're not seeing him. And in the same way, the lowly brothers, to lift them up, to say, listen, God loves you, mm-hmm. and to watch them joyfully exult in the fact that they've been lifted up by God, and to allow both of them to see that everything that we all think is so important is actually temporary, and we have a whole lot more in common than we thought.
Mm.
Because we all live in this temporary time, this temporary period, this land in between, you know, between salvation and the promised land.
Hmm.
And so in this time, how are we utilizing our lives? What are we doing with our lives? I think that's what James is trying to say. And he's trying to say the trials are really a great place to plant seeds to help other people see who God is.
Hmm.
Because when a rich man is humbled, there is something to the people around who are watching. If he does that and he goes, you know what? The thing that I'm most thankful for is that time when I was humbled because I got to see God more. I got to realize what matters most. Because people are going to take notice. They're going to wait. No, you know what matters most? You have a Ferrari.
Hmm.
You know what matters most? You have a huge house. You know what matters most? You have not one but two swimming pools.
And
when you hear a rich man say, no. What matters most is that I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
I see Jesus. And in the same way, when a lowly person who has every right to say, I don't have anything, my life stinks, I can't even make ends meet, I wish I had a Ferrari, I wish I had a house, I wish I had one swimming pool, I wish I had a kiddie pool. And that person is lifted up and says, you know what? I mean, may not seem like I have a lot, but I actually have everything that I need. I'm far richer than you understand,
you know,
because I know who Jesus is.
You know, Jason, I'm thinking of a couple illustrations you've given and I've given when we've been around people that pray very simple prayers like, Lord, thank you for the roof over my head, running water, the fact that we have air conditioning or heat, bread on the table, just like simple things that we could take for granted. I have transportation, you know, that I woke up, my arms, my limbs work, on and on and on. When you can kind of take that for granted, and that's where the, you know, if you will, the poor man or something has such a rich, thankful, grateful heart to God because he's identifying all those things that we're kind of spoiled with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And remember, this all revolves around trials. And so just as that Charles Spurgeon quote that I love so much that I've shared a number of weeks in the book of James, where Spurgeon said that he has learned to kiss the wave that throws him against the rock of ages.
Hmm.
And what Spurgeon is saying is, I've learned to love trials because they deliver me back into the arms of Jesus. And for many of us, when a trial of various kinds comes along, no matter if it's a flat tire or something doesn't work the way it's supposed to or something doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, our first inclination is to go, I can't even believe it, and stomp around and yell and make that face where we crinkle up our skin and, you know, do all that. And James says, no. When you have a trial of various kinds, no matter how big or how small it is, be thankful, because in that moment, you need to be delivered from your humanity into the arms of Jesus. You need what Jesus freely offers. You need what the Spirit freely offers. You need all of that. And therefore, trials are so important, because trials challenge us to pick which God we actually worship, us or him. And sadly, if we really think about that, I mean, oftentimes when things go south and things go sour, we end up in our own strength and not his.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Spurgeon says, we need to learn to love those trials because they keep reminding us that how much we need him and how ineffective and how temporary our own strength is.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of that song. I was trying to look it up really quick while you were talking, but with my headphones on, I'm paying close attention to every word you share, but my trials will soon be over. I think it's the Gaither Vocal Band, so I'm still trying to pick that out to close out the program. Just the fact that, you know, God will carry us through the trials. We're all going to experience trials, whether we just came through one, whether we're going to go into one, or, you know, whether it's just around the horizon or whatever. But we all know that trials will come, and, you know, this next verse we'll be looking at next week, Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. That's right where we'll pick up. But we would pray that as you find yourself in the midst of a trial, even this very day, that you'll lean into Jesus, that you'll recognize God is sovereign. He's in control. Nothing can happen outside of his permissive will. So he will work. He'll redeem the situation. Yeah, you might get scarred. It might be hard. It might be a refining fire that he has to bring out a character trait or humble you to the point where you're going to rely and rest in him and his care. But allow him to take you through it, because you'll come out with that fragrance of Christ, being able to help a hurting world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to close out with, trials will soon be over. Of course, that's our ultimate destiny when we arrive into heaven. But everyone have a great weekend. Get involved in your church. Get under some good Bible teaching. Pray up your pastor. And hope to see you at the drive-in tonight. Harvest Moon Drive-In, Gibson City, Illinois. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend. And hope to see you at the drive-in tonight. Harvest Moon Drive-In, Gibson City, Illinois.
My trials so hard will soon be over. I'll cross that over chilly Jordan, and there somewhere in heaven city I'll sit me down. Sit me down, I'll wear the pale crown of glory. I'll shout and tell the happy story. My hard trials will soon be over, and I shall wear a crown.
Lord, I'm tired.
My trials will soon be over, and
tired.
My trials will soon be over, and soon my Lord's gonna come for me. Then I'll be heaven bound.
Then I'll fly.
The load I bear is often heavy, but soon I know my feet shall stand upon higher ground. Higher ground. Each tear and care I'll leave behind me. I'll shout and say goodbye to trouble. My hard trials will soon be over, and I shall wear a crown.
But I'm tired.
Hard trials will soon be over.
So tired.
Hard trials will soon be over, and soon the Lord is gonna come for me. Then I'll be heaven bound.
Then I'll fly.
Hard trials will soon be over.
In the sky.
Soon be over, and our trials will soon be over, and I shall wear.